Sullivan, and welcome to another podcast from ARS Musica Conservatory. Every harpist remembers the first time they were asked to play the Waltz of the Flowers cadenza. It can be terrific fun, or a terror, depending on how well prepared you are. Recently, I spoke with Mindy Kutcher, principal harpist of the Pennsylvania Ballet in Philadelphia, to get her expert advice on how to prepare and perform this great harp solo.
So today we're talking to our expert, Mindy Kutcher. Mindy is principal harpist for the Pennsylvania Ballet. She studied with Alice Chalifoux at the Oberlin Conservatory, and she has a really wonderfully varied resume. She's played in Japan. She's played on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. She's played on cruise ships like the Crown Odyssey and the Royal Viking Sun. She's done a lot of things, and I'm just thrilled that she's able to talk to us today about the Waltz of the Flowers. Hi, Mindy.
Hi, Anne.
It's so good to talk to you. And we're looking for some information and for some advice. Now, you play with the Pennsylvania Ballet, and you've been doing that for how long now?
For about 15 years.
That's a
Hard
long
to believe.
Time.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of nutcrackers. How many nutcrackers would you say you play in a season?
In a season, now we play a little less. When I started, we played about 32. And now it's about 25, but still, with all my years, I've played over 400, I think, with the PA Ballet. So
plenty of nutcrackers, plenty
yes.
of cadenzas. Do you play it the same now as you used to when you started, or?
Definitely not. With the Pennsylvania Ballet, there's a certain way they want us to play it. So, of course, when I learned it when I was in high school, I did it a lot slower, actually, than I do now. They want it as fast as possible. I think while I'm playing, there are ballerinas on their toes, so they don't want to be doing that for too long.
Yeah, that's the big dewdrop fairy moment, right? She wakes up all the flowers.
That's right. I think they're all on point, and they really want me to get it over with quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the moment that we harpists never see. They tell us it's beautiful looking, but we never get to see it.
We never get to see it. I know. Yeah.
We're sort of interested here in how someone would start learning the cadenza. And I know that the first time I played it, it was sort of a really daunting thing. I mean, it's a big moment because everything stops, and then there
it's
you are.
It's a big moment, and it's just you. That's right.
And what was it like for you the first time you played it? Do you remember?
I'm sure I was scared. But the good thing is my youth orchestra did it, and they did it as part of a concert. So it wasn't like there were dancers that were counting on me. And we also had so many rehearsals. You know how it is in youth orchestra. There's a lot more rehearsals then than there are now in professional orchestras. And I did it many, many times before I had to perform it, which was great. And then we did it on several concerts. So I really felt like I knew it thoroughly, which is a good thing. It's helped me now.
Well, yeah, and now you know it extra thoroughly, don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, now, I mean, I don't know that I remember the first time I learned it and how I learned it. I know that I got through it the first time I played it. But do you remember how you were taught or what you found that was really difficult to learn? I mean, obviously it's not difficult now, but...
Right. You know, and after playing it for so long, it's second nature. And, you know, you realize, like, sometimes you stop and think, yes, it is hard, and you forget that because you can play it in your sleep practically. You know, I just remember that I played it the exact same way my teacher played it. So
uh-huh.
It's really great if you can listen to different recordings and hear how people play it, because there's so many different interpretations of it that in some ballets they even play it with glisses in it. So, you know, you never know. I just know that when I learned the notes, that I had a lot of lessons playing that for my teacher before I went and played it in youth orchestra. So that's important. Really be prepared.
Yeah, it is.
No, well, thoroughly.
No. Once you start, you're playing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I know that my own approach to the cadenza grew a whole lot when I started teaching it. Have you found that?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
And do you have a standard sort of method when a student comes to you and says, Ms. Kutcher, I have to play this next year, and my orchestra conductor wants me to play it, and how do I learn it? Is there a standard approach?
And hopefully they're saying that, and they're saying next year and not next week.
Because
I've had people say, I need to learn this right away, and it's not a piece you want to learn right away. I really treat it like I do lots of other pieces, and we treat it like an exercise first. I really try to not do the musical things first. First, we just learn notes and do it very, very slowly and very exercise-like, because I think it's important to hear every note and not just have this, you know, a bunch of notes that that are sounding really muddy. I think it's really important to hear all the notes, even when it's fast. I would much rather hear a harpist play it slower with all you can hearing all the notes than playing it too fast and having it too muddy. It just doesn't sound good that way. So sort of depending on the student, I always have them do it very slowly with a metronome and work it up so that they get all the notes. But I've also done it where they play it in cluster chords so that they learn where to place their hands. Because for some students, it's really hard for them to place those next four notes, even if you know the pattern, because you have to do it so quickly. So I do that at first before we ever do any musical things, and we just learn it really thoroughly.
So you've got the notes and you've got the placing. What else, or what are some of the other concerns with the cadenza?
I think the other concerns with the cadenza is making sure that they realize that they're just expanding on an A7 chord.
Right.
And that they really have to think about where they're going next, because the problem is if they just memorize and they think about notes only, it's so much harder to learn it. And I try to show them the patterns in the music too, you know, before we even talk about the musicality. And of course, the musicality is a whole nother big step, as you know. Because you know, there's so many different interpretations, and you really want this cadenza to sing, because it's like your big moment, and it needs to be brilliant and not sound like it's a big exercise. We do it at first as an exercise, but the finished product really can't sound like that. It really has to sound like a song, you know.
Yeah.
Too many people, I think, they just play notes, and they don't think about where the notes need to go.
Okay, so you have a student, and the student has pretty much mastered this technically, and you need to start teaching the musicality of it. Where do you start?
You know, that's a really good question. And where we start is, I would say probably we do it in pieces, so that whole, you know, there's, of course, the whole introductory arpeggios that you have to do with the orchestra before your cadenza actually starts.
Right.
And I work on that separately. Then I work on those when the cadenza first starts and you have those descending notes. It goes all the way up. And when we get all the way up before we come back down, I would say that is one whole section of the cadenza. And you want to work on that just so that you can get it sped up. Everybody does an accelerando. But you don't want to do too much of one. You don't want to start too fast, or you have nowhere to go.
So they have to gauge that carefully,
Exactly. And you really need, I think you need to do it in pieces, because why do the whole cadenza when you can work on it in pieces and get it exactly how you want it to sound?
Sure.
So there's that ascending line, even though you're playing notes downward, we're going up. And then when we get to the top, we're doing a similar thing at the top. We're waiting at the top, and we're starting slowly. And when we come back down, there's another accelerando. So that's the next section. There's a big arpeggio then that goes up. Tchaikovsky has it written as a double arpeggio. Most people, I think, play it as a single arpeggio all the way.
I know I do.
And most harpists do. And that is a whole other thing, just getting that arpeggio. I find people find that very hard to do quickly, because I think that's one that it still needs to be musical. And then those last chords. And those last chords have to be musical, because you're not going to break them all the same way. Usually, what most people do, I'm sure you do too, is that you practice breaking the chords so you hear all the notes, but Each one of those rolled chords usually slows down, so by the time you get to that last one, it's more like a fast arpeggio than a rolled chord.
Yeah, that's certainly, you know, a good way to describe what has to happen.
Right, right. And I think, you know, with anything you're learning, if you do it in pieces, it doesn't seem as daunting. Because you
well,
can say,
course.
I'm just going to work on this first section until it's the way I want it to sound.
Now, you mentioned before that playing in the ballet is different from playing in the orchestra. You've got to play it at a much different tempo. Did you have to change the fingering pattern you used for the cadenza when you started doing that?
You know, I didn't change anything. I think it's hard to change anything once you've done it for a number of years. It's really hard to change in the middle. Yeah, I didn't have to change anything, but I had to be really flexible because, you know, when a conductor is like rolling her hand saying, you know, faster, 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 you just have to be able to go with the flow.
And to still make it sound like you're making musical decisions.
And you
time.
Still have to make music, exactly. There's that happy medium. You know, you don't want to go like the wind and just forget about the music. It's true.
Well, now, what exactly, how do you play those notes? I mean, I have actually had conductors request that I play the cadenza exactly the way it's written. And that's certainly not
yeah.
the way I learned it, but
right.
that is what
right.
I have played on occasion when people asked for it that way. But everybody has their own way to deal with those 16th notes. And what's your strategy?
Well, you know, if anyone is looking at that Tchaikovsky score,
mm-hmm.
you see that there's these 16th notes that both hands are playing at the same time, and they're playing in opposite directions. And that, at a very slow tempo, you can do. But if you have to get fast at all, it's impossible to do it, and it's possible to place all those notes and make it sound clean. So most people I know, they do, I've heard it a couple different ways. The way that I do it is I just do descending, really what becomes, I guess, 32nd notes, because we're not really playing 16th notes anymore. I usually start with my right hand, play the same notes in the left hand, but after I play the right hand. And I know that some harpists play the right hand and then they play the left hand going up as written.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard people do it both ways, and both ways sound great. And
they do.
Really, as far as learning it, you pretty much learn it about the same way, you know.
Yeah, there's no difference in learning it. And I think, I mean, for me, that was the way I was taught, so that's what I learned, and it's what
exactly.
I teach.
It's what you get used to, and what
mm-hmm.
you get used to is really important, because all of a sudden you're on the spot and you have to play it. I don't think you want to start playing it the way it's written. And I think for any kid out there that the conductor says, that's not what I have, say, well, this is how every harpist plays it, and you can really list any harpist in the country in a major orchestra, and none of them are playing it the way it's written. And really, there's some conductors that just want to show you that they know what their score looks like, but really, you just say, oh, that's not playable. No one plays it that way. And I think every young harpist needs to know that sometimes we do have to change things to make it playable.
And most conductors know that. I mean,
the times I've had
people request
yeah.
it, they knew what they were asking, and they knew that I would grumble about it, and I did.
You know, have to say, because something just popped in my mind when you were saying change things, I actually played this for a Tom and Jerry movie.
Oh, did you really?
It's called The Nutcracker. It is, and it's a Tom and Jerry movie, and you can order it. And it's called something like Cracking Nuts or something, you know, but
mm-hmm.
it's based on the Nutcracker. And there, they had a certain way they wanted everything played, and I had to play it in a certain time. So I actually had to play the cadenza sort of in pieces to make it fit. And that just jumped in my mind, too, because you never know. You never know when you have to change something suddenly and play it differently than what you're used to. Yeah.
Well, this has been very helpful talking to you. I know people are going to get a lot of good advice as far as learning the cadenza, but I just thought maybe before we stop today, maybe you'd have a funny story, a good ballet story that you could share with us.
A good ballet story. Well, you know, I don't know if I have any good stories, but I can say that spending 15 years in a pit can
mm-hmm.
be very hazardous. And I always have, like, lots of stories about things falling in the pit. There was one ballet where they were throwing vegetables for some reason. There was a fight, and we had all kinds of plastic vegetables flying into the pit, and everyone, you know, would like hold up whatever they happened to get on their side of the pit, and it started getting funny, and we always get snowed on during the snow scene.
Yes.
And so we always like leave the pit, and it looks like we have dandruff in our hair, because it's just confetti from the snow scene. And once, I have to say, we still talk about this, a few years ago, one of the boys choir members that sings, you know, during the Nutcracker, got sick on the timpani. He was so nervous standing up there that he got sick. So we still joke with the timpanist about that.
Oh, my goodness.
But that's the things that jump in my mind, is just the really funny things that happen that you're not expecting, like things to fall in the pit. Yeah.
And to close here, if you had to give one piece of advice to someone who was going to play Waltz of the Flowers Cadenza for the first time, what would you suggest?
I would say two things. I would say memorize it, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Just know it so thoroughly. You can have the music sitting there, but really you don't have time to look back at the music and figure out where you are. And I would say, too, you know, you really want to concentrate on making music and really thinking about that thumb melody, because the right-hand thumb really is the melody of the whole cadenza. And if you sing along, you know, even while you're playing it, sing it in your head, you won't lose your place. I think you can sit there and enjoy it instead of thinking, oh, my gosh, I suddenly have to play this cadenza and freak out about it. Really enjoy that melody. And when I think about, like, just having that melody come out, that's all I think about, you know? And it makes it so much easier.
That's some great advice. Well, thank you so much, Mindy. It's been so much fun talking to you today and talking to you about this. And I'm going to remember that timpani story, and I'm going to remember to watch where I sit when I'm playing in the pit from now on. Well, this has been so much fun. And to all of you listening to the podcast, My Own Guide to Learning the Cadenza is available on the website on arsmusica.us, and you just go to the conservatory website page and you can find it there, and it's got a 3 to 4 week practice plan for learning the cadenza, incorporating a lot of the techniques that Mindy spoke about, and so you can find that there. You can also find Mindy's CD, and her CD is called Reverie, and you can find that online at CD Baby. You can find it in various harp stores like Virginia Harp Center and Harp Connection, and you can find out more about Mindy and about the CD at her website, which is harpbyrequest.com. Well, thank you again for talking with us, Mindy. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks a lot, Anne. It was fun, and it made me think about the Nutcracker in June, when I never saw that cracker.
I'm sorry. Is that a...
That's
you
fine.
Were expecting time off. Well, thank you again. It's been fun.
Thanks, Mindy, for those very helpful pointers about the cadenza. And thank you for listening to this podcast. Be sure to pass it along to any harpist you know who is gearing up for December performances. You can find my own practice regimen for preparing the cadenza on the ARS Musica website at arsmusica.us. It has a 3-week plan incorporating many of the same tips Mindy talked about for learning or refreshing your knowledge of the cadenza so you can perform it securely, confidently, and musically. You can also find helpful articles and conservatory courses on many helpful topics, from practice tips to preparing for college auditions to ear training. This is Anne Sullivan, and I hope you'll join me again for our next ARS Musica podcast.